Hello and welcome to Your Business Monster podcast. We are just two normal blokes with a passion for success. The ultimate goal is to create a community that will unlock the formula for success, and we'll be interviewing key business players and putting into practice what we learn in an open forum. We're creating a business from scratch. We're documenting the highs and lows, what works, what doesn't, and all this will be done on documents, podcasts, video blogs, and social media. Join us and let's make the blueprint for success. I'm Dave Butcher. And my co-host, Mike Taylor, we are Your Business Monsters. How's it going, Mike?
Yeah, really good, Dave. Thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad. Another busy week.
Chocker week. We've achieved quite a lot again in a short space of time. And we're going to be releasing content, blogs, and so on and so forth, all about what we've achieved since the last one, which was 3 days ago.
Four days ago, yeah. Bang at it, as they say. So today we are interviewing Mr. Chris Cashin.
Hi there, how are you doing?
And today we're going to talk about how blogging is useful for Facebook for a business. And we're going to talk about what you do. What's your business?
So basically, my job is to do the social networking marketing for a number of businesses in Merseyside and the North West. So basically, I manage the Twitter, the Facebook, Instagram, and I create and manage their websites as well, link them all together and integrate them with the social networks.
So a couple of the things we've been doing is we've created a blog.
Yeah.
And obviously we're creating this business from scratch, so we're quite interested in how you can make a blog work on your Facebook and how you can help drive traffic to that.
Yeah, we've dabbled in it using the social media basically to point to it, literally only like a week.
Yeah,
if that, and we're getting a few hits in that, and but obviously we need to ramp that up, and it's just basically, you've got any advice on?
Yeah, of course. The blog works totally separate, but also together with Facebook and Twitter. You know, obviously it's not part of a social network; it's on your own server and it is its own entity. But the thing about a blog is that essentially it is a website, and what Facebook seems to have written in its coding is it gets a lot more views. A website gets a lot more views on a post than anything else. You know, a video does, a normal post does, a written post, but a blog or a website link seems to get a massive amount of views compared to any standard post. But the reason behind that usually is the tagline that you put behind, obviously, the page or the website that you're trying to push.
So what you're saying is now, so you're saying an external blog sitting in Facebook will probably get more views than using the native platform?
It would, yeah.
Do you know why that is? Or
it's to do with the psychology of a person. You know, people want to read something later, and you'll find you'll get a lot more views by someone actually interacting with whatever that website is compared to just reading a Twitter or a Facebook post as they're scanning through the wall. So you'll find that your views are a hell of a lot higher, because views essentially are only Facebook's way of showing you that someone stayed on that area of the screen a lot longer than anything else. Yeah. That's all views are. So basically, if you've got a blog that's in your post, so get on this news, so-and-so's talking about the 10 best things to do with blah, 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 you know, and then they make them click a link, well, that's got a view straight away. Mm-hmm. And you'll find that that's a lot easier to get those views than it is to get a normal post.
And then from that, you find that more people will, like, share that with their mates, like it, and obviously exactly. That shows up on their feeds as well.
Exactly. I mean, you find yourself spending a lot of money with your business page trying to boost a post, trying to advertise your restaurant or your shop.
Yeah.
Simply with an advert square image that you've had a designer make. Whereas if you had a blog that talked about your product and then that your business was a banner at the bottom of that, then you'll find that that'll go a hell of a lot further for free, because right, people are organically sharing the story that you've talked about because it is relative to them, and yet that advert's just being seen by 10,000 more people. So yeah, you know, getting something that's relative information in a blog that's relative to your business that will get people sharing it is obviously a lot more effective and a lot more cost effective than you actually promoting a post on Facebook.
So content.
Content
and tagline.
Yeah, content and tagline on a blog will instantly get more people seeing it, and therefore you won't have to spend any money promoting it on your Facebook page.
Yeah. So the just shooting off slightly, the content that you're putting out, we briefly had a chat about before,
mm-hmm.
is you don't start forcing salesy stuff down their throat in the blog. You're sort of almost telling them a story and giving them a little snippet.
The best way to do it is, people aren't thick. Just people aren't thick. If they think they're trying to be...
Davis.
Allegedly.
people know when they're being sold something. And if they know they're being sold something, they'll switch off to you. And that's as simple as that.
Mm.
So if you do it another way and give them some information that they'll really be interested in, you know, like I said, top 10 things, or, you know, something they can read on a train, on the commute to work, that their phone can save before obviously they go through the tunnel or whatever. It's interesting, and for them to physically interact with their friends, you're going to get a lot more sales out of it at the end, you know. And the reason is because your advert is probably interlinked with that story on that blog. You know, you've probably got top 10 things, and halfway through the top 10 things, you've got your advert or your product
involved
in that story, and possibly as a banner at the end. You know, and therefore, you know, you've done so much more than what you tried to do with that square post that you did saying buy our product.
I suppose what you're doing as well is you're getting into someone's head.
Yeah.
As well. So it might not be, they might not buy off you there and then, but 6 months down the line, that blog will pop into the head.
Yeah.
And they know who you are.
You've got a 90-day, there's a psychology to that, that as well, to be honest. Each buyer, potential buyer, has got 19 days before they actually decide that your product is worth buying.
Right.
And that's only from that first moment that they saw your product on whatever it is they saw it on.
You've got a 19-day window.
There's a 19-day window for
you to re-engage with
this
them.
This is an average, so I'm not saying it's exactly 19 days. They're going to ring one world. I want to buy that. But research has shown that it takes roughly 19 days for that person from the moment they saw your product, providing that it was a quality advertisement that they saw, it takes them 19 days to decide that they want to go buy that product. So you'll find that most of your advertising that you're doing now, you must do... if it's an event, let's say, it must be at least 19 days before that event, you know, that you're trying to sell.
Makes sense.
Because it'll give them that 19 days to buy the ticket or to buy the product that you've got that's on a sale that ends on that day.
The window of opportunity.
Yeah. So you've got to make sure that you don't think of your product being sold tomorrow, or what you're doing right now isn't going to work because tomorrow it was dead. Mm. It doesn't work that way.
Mm.
It takes the average buyer who's viewing that social network 19 days to be able to decide, or to be to automatically decide when they go up and go, do you know what, I saw that the other week. I can't remember what it was, but I've seen it.
So more statistics around that as well, around about buying and behaviour and stuff like that. They reckon on average it's between 7 and... 19 or is it 19 views of a product,
mm-hmm.
they will remember your brand,
mm-hmm.
so they have to see it so many times.
Exactly.
So
brand awareness is big.
How would you do that without over plugging your product? What is there an optimum time?
Straight back to the blog. The blog you have, and most people have a website in a business these days, they'll have a blog page. That's what that blog page is for.
Yeah.
It's for that brand to be made more aware to the masses. That's all that's for. That's all a blog is ever for on a certain company's website. So basically, if I've got Davis's Double Glazing, okay, and they've got a website, they'll have a news page on that website.
Yeah.
Now, that news page will always be shared on a social network. Every day, if they do it religiously, and it's, you know, they've got a good marketing team, basically.
Yeah.
That's what they'll do. And it will have not necessarily something to sell on that blog or news. It'll be like, welcoming a new team member this week, blah, 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 you know. And then that team member will probably share it to their friends on Facebook.
Yeah, look at me.
But what you've done is you've just got your brand out there by another how many more people.
Yeah, you're creating a community.
Exactly. So it's important for if you've got a business and you've got a website to have a blog page on your website and then integrate that blog page into the Facebook and Twitter and Instagram as much as you can.
Mm.
Because you're not selling your product. You're making your product more aware to the masses, basically. Mm-hmm. You're making more seen, sorry, by the masses. And that's the key. That's the whole name of the game for the blog.
Okay. We've been looking at tools to find out how to optimise your blog.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your opinion on that?
No comments.
Kind of.
choosing the Fifth Amendment.
You said you weren't going to say that. Okay, so we've been looking at the likes of Hootsuite.
So we've been using Hootsuite for Twitter because going on what you said about before about almost like remarketing what your content is over and over again. I read an audio, I can't remember what it was now. Head smashed so much stuff I've took in the last couple of weeks. That with Twitter, because of the way Twitter works, is if you're talking about your blog, say I've got a new blog up, is to do that a couple of times a day, but in different words, just because of the way Twitter works. But if you did that on Facebook, people would start going, why are you spamming me?
That would annoy people, and that's true. Facebook, like I said, people scan a wall on Facebook a lot more than they scan a wall on Twitter.
Yeah.
Where Twitter is very much referral-based, whereas Facebook is very much more like a newspaper where you constantly go through the page to see stuff that you like or that's relative to you. So if you find your posting on your page 5 or 10 times a day, it will be looking as spamming, and people will just turn off to it. And eventually, eventually unfollow and unlike your page, which is the worst thing that can happen to you. But with Twitter, people very rarely will scan back on a Twitter wall. They will probably look at the last 10 tweets around them. So you could probably do up to every... Using Hootsuite is a great platform because Hootsuite has two options. It has schedule and it has auto schedule. Now,
I was going to ask you about that because I've been too afraid to use auto schedule because I don't know what that actually does.
No, it's good. If you go into the insights section on the left hand side of Hootsuite, it'll tell you when the key times of people are actually on Twitter.
Right.
Which is what that uses to auto schedule. So it's actually a really good tool because it's doing the hard work for you.
So it's optimizing.
It's optimizing when you put your post for you so that you don't have to mess around with it.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, and it will. You can choose. You've got settings in the auto schedule in Hootsuite.
Yeah.
I don't work for Hootsuite, by the way. but it is a great tool.
There are other schedules available.
Yeah, there are other schedules available. but effectively, what it does is it auto schedules all your tweets every day, and you can do it for up to as long as you want it. So you can schedule for a month or 2 months ahead if you wanted to, which I don't recommend because
You need to be dynamic, don't you, as well?
Yeah, and you have to be relative to the time that you post. Yep. Let's say that you forget that, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up and you've auto-scheduled and you've just got a normal tweet. It's not going to get seen. What you need to do is tweet something about Valentine's Day on that day. So don't do too far ahead because you could forget what events, what public events are coming up that you need to sort of tweak into to become relative with your posts. But the auto scheduler on Hootsuite, it basically reads the insights that Twitter do provide openly of when the most people are on Twitter and the most people are interacting on Twitter. And then if you just click auto schedule and once you finish your post, then you'll find that it's a weird time, like 2:35 p.m. tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
The reason why it's chosen that is because most likely because most of the people when they finish the lunch are a bit naughty and they go on the Twitter and Facebook in work
on the toilet
and that's what they do.
Funny enough, if you look at the date, the times I've done that, maybe I'm naughty, but I thought lunch times and I thought, no, well, no, you're probably going to get more people just as you go back to work.
Yeah.
And then they toss it off for 20 minutes.
The reason why is because when I'm on my lunch, I'm interacting person to person with people.
Yeah.
I'm on my lunch with someone. Mm. I'm on my lunch. That's what I do. So the last thing I will do would be to go on Facebook and Twitter. But when I'm on my own, usually when lunch just finishes, you'll find that that's when I'll be going on Facebook and Twitter, whether I'm allowed to or not. Yeah. I don't consider it to anyone. It's a strict job. But yeah, that's the reason why.
Interesting. Yeah, so Chris, another thing we want to look at, and there's a lot of people just saying, basically, you need to do this, you need to do that, blah, 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 but is YouTube? Can you give us an insight into that?
YouTube is a must. One of the main reasons we touched base about before was the fact that on Facebook, part of the coding on Facebook that makes people see more of is visual now, and it's not just a post, and posts are great, I would say 30% of all your posts on Facebook should be just written, you know, because it mixes it up. Mm. And the psychology of people don't want to constantly see one thing, a variation in three different formats, you know, audio, visual, and post. So that's the kind of thing that they want
to
do.
Is that why memes have took off so?
Yeah, because visual's great. Visuals on Facebook, people love them. Obviously, we are all visual people, you know, that's what we see, that's what we're looking at every day anyway, is Facebook, we're looking at it anyway, so that's why it's important. But another thing that's obviously becoming more and more popular, and the reason why is because I think the platform's evolving to be visual. Mm. Facebook mainly is the likes of YouTube and videos and uploading videos. As I can foresee in the next 10 years or even sooner, Facebook being predominantly visual, and you won't see the written format as much anymore. And I think that's the way it's going to be going. So I think every business needs to have a YouTube video. And even if it's just your advert to start with, you know, and it's easy enough to do, you can get companies to make it. I make them. You know, it takes me a couple of hours.
That's cash and design.
Cash and design. But the fact is, you can have them done, and it can be done in no time at all.
Yeah.
But not only that, documentation of your business as a video is also a great way to advertise your business.
Yeah.
So, you know, the office and what we did today with just your phone, you know, and record you and your team doing something, and what you're doing is you're letting everyone in to your business.
It's something we've been watching with the likes of Gary Vee.
Yeah.
He'll go live on Facebook.
Exactly.
Even when he's in the airport, he'll do
Facebook
giveaways.
Because you're involving him, and it's like he's your friend.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, oh, look what my mate's doing today, you know, but it's all part of you're trying to sell your product without selling your product.
Of course,
what you're doing is you're getting people to interact and be part of you, part of what you're doing, and you'll find that you'll sell your product a lot faster because of that, and your video is massively important and involved in doing that.
This is what you were saying the other day as well. You were saying about how accessible are our kind of peer group now that we're looking into, and the people who we want to like kind of connect with, they're a lot more accessible now because of these different platforms.
Yeah,
now.
You know, so just inbox them.
Yeah.
You know, if you wanted to say hello or thanks or, you know, I think your stuff's crap or good or whatever,
yeah,
you can just inbox it. Yeah. And it goes, and they, you know, if they're sitting there with the phone, which they probably are, they'll get a message straight away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Communication is great now, isn't it? You know, like with any business.
Yeah.
There's some bad ones, don't get me wrong. There's some terrible businesses out there where you just can't connect with them in any way.
Mm.
And you wonder how the hell they make the money.
Yeah.
But there's other businesses that's all they rely on. They rely on the communication. Line of communication.
One thing I would see with the sponsored ads on Facebook is they put these ads up and, you know, they come through. But no one's watching them. So people are actually coming on asking legitimate questions. And then it'll come up again because it saves a cookie or something, doesn't it, on you? So you see, it stays on your thing for a couple of days, especially if you've gone and read the comments.
Yeah.
And then people are almost wanting to buy off them, but then they're not replying. So what was the point in putting them
back? Yeah, there's no back-end kind of customer service part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're basically putting adverts out, but there's actually just no effort behind it at all.
Yeah.
That I mean, that's a common thing. And again, that's where a lot of businesses have sort of misunderstood the whole concept of advertising on social networks. Mm. I mean, the point, and it's in the name, social network, it's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't have that line of communication while you're advertising, you might as well advertise a slate. You might as well advertise a brick outside. It makes no difference.
I remember a conversation we had quite a while ago, Chris, when we were DJing together. You went to a social networking you went to that seminar, and the chap there was saying about interacting with people, and that's the way to get your engagement, and it seems like it's very obvious now.
Yeah.
Now that we've moved on,
yeah,
we're growing up around it now, aren't we?
Yeah.
All of us, you know,
it's the norm now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is the norm, but a lot of people still don't have that.
Yeah,
they're just putting kind of statements on rather than actually
talking at the market, and that is like the biggest no-no, because you sort of got a dictatorship in your business that way, and it's like you've lost. You know, you don't want to work against.
We sell glass.
Yeah. Buy our glass. You know, we've got glass. Buy it. You know, I don't want that. No. Yeah, even if it's for free, then they're just not going to get it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny that, because when I've walked into a lot of businesses who've been doing it that way for a long time, it's very hard for me to turn that round.
Yeah.
To get, and we were just talking about that before we came on, weren't we? Yeah. That there's a few businesses out there that I've just took on, whereas they for some reason they're just getting no interaction, and like we're putting posts out and just not getting any likes, and we're not getting any no one's talking to us or retweeting, and then I say, well, look at your content, look what you've been doing. Basically, you've been saying, buy our product, buy our product, buy our product, and in the end, it has a negative effect on your market. They switch off to it. They become deaf to your whole campaign. And it happened a couple of decades ago with Ford. Ford in the 80s had a terrible time. And basically, they had the product out there. The advertising was there. But the advertising constantly was, buy our product, buy our product, buy our product. Mm-hmm. And in the end, the whole brand became invisible to the market.
Yeah.
It was there that much that they just switched off. And and they learn from that negative effect. It's like they change the whole campaign, and yeah. You know, obviously kinetic came, which is the focus, and kinetic design. That was all, you know, about people and again and all that stuff. So, you know, what would you the biggest companies?
What would you recommend to a company that's at that point though? Because what we want to do is engage new business by, you know, new startups, and we want to say there's a formula, this is what you do it right from the start.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously we're giving people the tools to do that from the ground up. So what would you propose if let's say you've been trading for 5 years, getting very little interaction and you were just about to sink?
I would say
that's where we want to sit as well.
Yeah,
definitely,
yeah.
Definitely. If I was walking into a business like that, I would stop what they're doing exactly, you know, like straight away. Right there and then I would stop what you're doing and instantly start including the customer. And if you've got a product, then I'd say have a competition with your product. Mm-hmm. Because it automatically with that competition, you are including the market that are interested in your product to want to get it for free.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had a competition and used all the social networks for this competition, use your blog, use your Facebook, use your Twitter, use the extra page on your website with this competition, then you can sort of weigh up and start to learn more about your market again, your customers again, and then and obviously they also in the competition you could have fill in your name, telephone number, and email address, you know, and we'll enter you in the competition. So basically, what you're also doing then is you're data capturing people who have always been interested in your product that you never knew.
Yeah.
So basically, you're also data capturing then as well, which is massively important as well, because then when you do your newsletters and your email shots, which we'll probably come to another time, but when you do your newsletters or email shots, you'll have a massive database just from that one competition that you took. And that, and at the same time, you've just turned your marketing campaign around and got people interested.
Mm. Have you heard of Facebook dark posts?
I have.
You have? What would you say about them? Or, well, just I'll tell you what I know about them. It's basically all the interactions and all the behaviours that you have on Facebook. Basically, it data captures it. So when you can market directly to an area or a demographic, an age group, you know, someone's if they've clicked on something like a like positive tweets or positive posts, you know, it'll kind of register your behaviour. So you do a post, you don't post it on Facebook, hence the name dark post. And then what you do is you can set a market for that. Obviously, there's a revenue attached to that. So what would you say about those kind of posts and that kind of value for a business?
I'd say it's definitely something worth doing. But as long as you've already tweaked everything we've just talked about, because
as long as you've got the basics.
Yeah, because your dark posts can be pointless in the end, unless you already know what you're talking about before you actually set that up.
Okay.
Like I said, you might as well be selling a brick.
Yeah.
You know, if you haven't worked out who your target market is, and you haven't worked out how to get the customers to interact with you, and if you haven't worked out your demographic, then that dark post is going to be useless to you.
Yeah, because you could be marketing a nightclub to a pensioner.
You've got a series of questions to answer in that dark post before you put it out. Okay? The series of questions would be, what demographic is it, 25 to 35? What area do you want to hit? You know, these are all things that are important.
You need to know that.
And those things are the things you need to know before you actually put that dark post out.
But does that cost money, does it, as well? Dark post?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it sets it. It might say
$20 a day.
$20 a day to market to everybody on Wirral, or $20. It might be $30 a day to everybody in Wirral who's been to Asda. last 2 weeks. So it's your likes, your check-ins, all that kind of behaviour.
So go back to what Chris said, make sure you've got that set. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just throwing money away.
Exactly. It's usually throwing money at them, basically. It's about marketing to the people who you want to market to.
Yeah.
Going back to, you know, if you didn't want to be throwing money away and you're worried about throwing money away, that's why I always, if we just go back in full circle in what we were talking about, it's always better to do this blog. A blog is like the ultimate organic way to advertise your business. It's the way to do it. Because in that blog, where we're talking about video as well, and to integrate everything we've just talked about, you can do all that in your blog.
Yeah.
So you can have a video in the blog, and the video can be your advert, you know, and that will also then get seen more by more people because Facebook loves video. And so everything ties in together. And so, you know, that's why I always say, before you start throwing money at Facebook itself, throw your ideas into a blog.
Yeah.
Because that's free and you'll get a lot more return, but also you'll learn a lot more as well. Because what doesn't work, you'll know doesn't work. Mm. Simply because you haven't put any money in it and it hasn't got any views. So you know it's not important to people and people aren't interested, but you haven't lost anything. You know, it's like you've not lost any money.
Yeah.
I haven't put £200 on Facebook to promote it, but I know that doesn't work, and yet that blog still can be there and it still can be advertised. It doesn't matter, but it's took you probably about half an hour of your day to make, and yet, you know, you've learned something. You've learned that maybe that doesn't work or that avenue doesn't work. But that's why it's good to do a blog, because it doesn't cost you anything and it's probably the best form of free advertising you can do.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just going back to YouTube. On the way down here, as I got lost about 18 times, I've got an idea for YouTube. And we haven't actually launched it, have we, officially?
No.
So I think we'll probably bring in on this, to be honest, and basically launch a video to get people, like a teaser, sort of promote that over YouTube and stuff like that and all the channels.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like almost like a soft launch, get people intrigued, don't actually tell them the full thing. And then do it once.
I mean, if you look at Creamfields, the massive festival, that's basically their be all and end all of advertising is those teasers.
Yeah.
Start off with a 5 second one, then they go next to a 15 second one, and then they say mass production announcement coming tomorrow. And then the big advert comes out, which is 30 seconds.
And people are waiting
long,
for it.
Yeah. And they do. And what you're doing in that process is you're building a buzz, and that's the interaction part, you know. You're making people want and expect something that's going to happen. That's really good because it makes people actually go on Facebook or the social network just to see what you're doing, which is, you know, part of the way to win, you know.
Yeah.
So
cool. Definitely.
Excellent. Yeah, I think we've covered everything we wanted to talk about and more really, Chris. So do you want to tell people a little bit more about what you do and then promote your pages and stuff like that on this?
I mean, I've got one of the most successful blog pages that's mine that I'm allowed to talk about is Liverpool Blogger, and that, you know, obviously if you go to that blog site, you'll see how I've covertly advertised, you know, a number of venues in Liverpool just by pushing a story or something that's relative. One of the most successful, I think I've got about 60,000 views, was a price comparison of all the taxis on New Year's Eve. So obviously, basically, the point was is like, no, I wanted to get a nightclub busy on New Year's Eve, okay? And it's a slog because New Year's Eve's been killed very much so by
Never been a fan.
Yeah, because it's
house party in central.
It is, because people don't want to pay for taxis, people don't want to pay £25 in, people this and the other. So with certain venues going to go free,
right?
Yeah, a certain venue is going to be free entry. Or most £5 after 11, something like that. So we wanted to obviously advertise that. So I did a post that said, you know, is town too expensive on New Year's Eve?
Mm.
We've done a taxi price comparison for you to all use, and it showed. And you know, I rang around all the taxi firms. I got, you know, all the prices. So it was time and a half before 12 o'clock, and one of them was double time all night. And so I did the top 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
And obviously, because it was so relative, it went organic, it went viral, you know. And so, Liverpool Blogger, you know, like I said, that's my avenue, and this is why, obviously, I've advertised what I wanted to use it in.
Good stuff. Yeah. And you've got a Facebook page as well, haven't you?
Yeah, Facebook page. I've got a couple. I've got one for me, which is Cash and Design, which is Chris Cash and Portfolio. It shows all my work and where I've worked. So the likes of Creamfields, 2014, and a number of the bars in town. Sin Sundays, I do all the artwork for.
Your Business Monster.
Business Monster, yeah. I do your branding. And, you know, obviously there's a few restaurants like Luxor, Cello, and there's a clothing company that's just started. It's going to be massive. It's called MD Clothing, MD Kids Clothing. It's where we launched on that on Saturday. That's in Warrington. I've done all the branding for them, their website. So check that out as well. So yeah, lots of businesses, but obviously I couldn't go through them all. And some of them have actually got an exclusivity, non-disclosure contract attached to them. It's because they don't want me robbed off other people.
We don't want to dilute you, sir.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, we are going to dilute you slightly.
Some companies use me more than others, put it that way. Yeah. They don't want me to get used too much by too many companies, so I'm not allowed to talk about them.
Yeah. Okay, great. Just to summarise then, so we've talked about a lot about Facebook, how to use it in blogs, briefly about dark posts, and then how to use YouTube, and then obviously put that into your blogs and Facebook and stuff like that. And then Hootsuite as well, so we touched on Twitter, about posting a couple of times a day. So we're just stepping into Twitter at the moment, aren't we? Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's been really great. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks a lot.
So, I think on our next, I keep saying next week, but we keep churning them out at the moment.
Yeah, keep filming it.
Yeah, I think if we don't do them often enough, we're just going to forget what we've done, and it's just going to be a massive blur.
True.
So obviously, this is part of the development process. We're mentioning everything that we're learning along the way. So if you're listening, guys, you're probably listening at 6 months into our venture, and you might be listening back to the episode 5 that we're on today. So you know, obviously you're gonna see all the steps along the way, and hopefully our voices and coughs will have chilled out.
Because
it's not February anymore.
I mean, it was an idea that was sort of come about on the 31st December.
Indeed.
It's now
10th of February.
I'm already on our 5th podcast. And everything's getting documented. Some will get documented after, and back and forth. So, and new stuff spouting off all the time.
Indeed. So we will. If you head over to our Medium page, that's Your Business Monster on Medium, and if you head over to iTunes as well and Podomatic, you just search Your Business Monster. We're on there. This is a bit of a soft launch that we're on now. So if you're jumping on board, thanks. But we're going to be doing a full launch probably in the next week or so. And Chris Cashin from Cashin Design has been joining us today. And we're going to link some of his pages to all of our media. And hopefully you can get some work off you, maybe.
Yeah.
Not too much. There's only one of me, unfortunately.
Okay, catch you next time.
Cheers.